brothers and sisters, welcome to the second week of Lent, and welcome also to the second week of our Lenten preaching series, Prostrating. Last week's theme was on temptation as a cross that we must all contend with. Perhaps, if you recall, we may take shortcuts, or maybe not cling to the truth that we are formed in the image and likeness of God, or forgetting that we are good. Oftentimes, the temptations that we have to resist or become slaves to are rooted in addictions or strong, sinful behaviors. This weekend, the Lenten preaching series is Onward and Upward, Scaling Our Personal Mountains. And what it means is to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus. But first, let's look at our reading for the second week of Lent. We hear in our gospel reading today Matthew's account of the transfiguration. To transfigure means to change in outward appearance. And Matthew tells us that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up a high mountain, and it was there on that mountain that Jesus transfigured before them. His outward appearance changed. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. Jesus appeared to them in all his glory. He appeared to them in his glorified body. But that's not all. We also heard that Moses, who we know represents the law of the Old Testament, and Elijah, who we know represents the Old Testament prophets, they appeared also, and they were talking with Jesus. But there's still more than just that. Peter, perhaps wanting to prolong this glorious event that he was witnessing, while he was asking Jesus if he should set up three tents, what happened? A bright cloud cast a shadow over them. And from that cloud there came a voice, the voice of God. And it said to them, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And then Peter, James, and John, filled with fear, fell to the ground, so afraid that they wouldn't even raise their eyes. But then Jesus comes to them and he says, "Do not be afraid." And when the disciples found the courage once again to raise their heads and open their eyes, when they looked around, they found no one but Jesus. And we're told that this miracle at that time was just for them. Whereas they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus told them not to tell anyone what they had witnessed until he had been raised from the dead. But why? Why did Jesus transfigure before them? Why did Moses and Elijah appear? Why did God speak to them? And most importantly, what does that have to do with us today? To begin to understand these questions, consider first that you and I, we are New Testament people. We are of the new covenant. The old covenant is fulfilled in Jesus. And that's why Moses and Elijah appeared on that mountain with him, to signal the passing of the Old Testament, the passing of the old covenant. Recall, my brothers and sisters, what Jesus said. "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill it." The kingdom of God, salvation, was at hand. And Jesus is the new mediator. In Jesus, all things are made new. Jesus is the new covenant between God and man.
He did not.
Did he not say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me? That is why Peter, James, and John found the courage to raise their eyes and saw no one but Jesus, signifying that the Old Covenant, the Old Testament law and prophets were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Consider now the two questions. Why did Jesus transfigure before them? And why did they hear the voice of God? They received these special blessings simply to assure them, then, and us today, that without doubt, Jesus is the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah. They received these special blessings to give them the strength and courage that they would need once Jesus was gone, to bear their share of hardship for the gospel, a gospel of love. A gospel that is counterculture, and one that no one could have ever predicted or expected. But most importantly, God commanded them then and us today to do what? To listen to Jesus. This is what we heard in our second reading today from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Timothy, who was the pastor of a church, was going through some hardships in the name of the gospel. St. Paul says to him then and to each of us today, beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own design. In the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through what? The gospel. That, my brothers and sisters, is why we recall the transfiguration of Jesus today. To give us the strength that we need to bear our share of hardship, to bear our crosses. We recall the transfiguration today to give us the courage we need to pick up those crosses, to follow in his footsteps, to boldly proclaim his gospel, to be righteous and holy, to be light shining in this world of darkness, to be the very salt of the earth. And what is our share of hardship for this gospel of love? Jesus said that the greatest commandment was this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it: you should love your neighbor as yourself. And he went on to say that the whole law of the prophets in the Old Testament depend on these two commandments. And the night before he suffered, what did he tell his disciples? This is my commandment: love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. But there's more here than just that. Listen, Jesus goes on to say, it was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain. My brothers and sisters, each of us has been called to bear fruit that will remain. We've been called to be his eyes in this world. We've been called to be his hands We've been called to be his voice, to share his love. We've been called to fight the good fight. We've been called to live holy and righteous lives, to testify to the light, to be the very salt of the earth. We've been called to repent, and not only to believe in the gospel, but to live it, to spread it, to proclaim it, and if necessary, to die for it. We've been called, you and I, to defend the helpless, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to shelter the homeless, to visit those that are sick and in prison. So the question Jesus has for each of us today is simply this: do you love me? We hear those words from the cross: do you love me? We hear those words from the only person who can say them with power and conviction, the only person who can say them with authority, the only person who has the right to say them, because he loved us so much that he took upon himself our sins. He loved us so much that he humbled himself, accepting death on the cross for our salvation. He paid the price for our sins down to the last drop of his blood. It is from the cross we hear those words: do you love me? And if we love him, then we are to tend his sheep. We are to love each other. We are called to be Christful to those around us. If we love him, we're called to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross and follow him. So what does it mean to deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow Jesus? Let's start with what it means to deny ourselves. First of all, denying ourselves does not come natural to any of us. If anything, when it comes to ourselves, our basic humanity cries out, me, myself, and I. And it is only with the help of the Holy Spirit that we can overcome our fallen nature and learn to cry out, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Denying ourselves means dying to ourselves. It means relinquishing our will for God's will. And our ability to deny ourselves is inseparably linked to our ability to succeed at anything. You see, you can't have a good marriage unless you're willing to deny yourself. You can't be good parents unless you're willing to deny yourself. You can't be successful in any sport or at work or your career or with personal finances unless you're willing to deny yourself. Self-denial is central to Christianity. It is central to life, and it is central to the great many things that God wants each of us to succeed at. It is only by denying ourselves that we become truly free. It is only by denying ourselves that we take possession of ourselves. One of the treasures or blessings of the Lenten season is that it invites us to take a look at our self-denial, certainly through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, but also during this period of Lent. Each of us should take a step back and take a good look at how we are denying ourselves. Has self-denial become a habit,
Or do we only do it when we really don't have any other options or choice? You see, we can deny ourselves in 100 tiny ways each and every day. You may want a cup of coffee or soda. Get a glass of water. Nobody knows what you've done but God, and God, who sees what you do in secret, will reward you. By denying ourselves in these little ways each and every day, over time, we take possession of ourselves. We become truly free. Jesus does not ask us to give up living when he says that we must deny ourselves, but he invites us to a newness and a fullness of life that we can only experience by denying ourselves. So what does it mean to pick up your cross and follow Jesus? This phrase is commonly understood to mean accepting some specific problem or difficulty, such as a terminal illness, or having to live with a handicap, perhaps the loss of a loved one, or some family or job crisis. We all go through these things. And they are serious. My wife and I lost our first child, 18 months old, to cancer. I've lost a job before in my life. I'm sure many of you have been unemployed. How well we bear these crosses testifies to how strong our faith is in Jesus. But there's more here than just that. These daily sacrifices that come our way, these crosses that everybody bears. The cross Jesus refers to includes those, but also the cross we must bear by living and proclaiming the Christian way of life. How well are we doing that? And these questions might help us understand that a little more. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your closest friends? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it alienates you from your family? Would you follow Jesus if it means losing your job or your reputation? Would you follow Jesus if it means the loss of your life? You see, my brothers and sisters, in some places in our world today, actual death is a real possibility when a person becomes a Christian or lives their Christian faith. We're blessed. We don't have to do that. We don't have to worry about that. Although following Jesus doesn't necessarily mean for us actual death, we must be willing to go to death or suffer anything rather than deny him. For most of us, there comes moments in our lives where we are faced with a choice. Jesus on one hand, and the comforts of this life on the other. And the choice that we make testifies to our love for him or our love for ourselves. When crosses come our way, we should always remember that Jesus never permits us to carry a cross that we cannot handle. That he will not be there to help us carry that cross. We should always remember, too, to ask God that if it be his will to take this cross away from us. We should also ask people to pray for us and pray over us. We should embrace that cross, so if it's God's will that we carry it, we should embrace that cross with love and trust in God to bring a greater good out of it. Not only for us, but for the world. Taking up our cross to follow Christ means simply commitment to the point of giving up our hopes, dreams, possessions, and even our very life, if need be. This is the attitude, the only acceptable attitude of a true disciple. Jesus' followers have counted the cost to regard the reward as worth the price. Jesus set the example for us in his death to give us the gift of life. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. A true disciple of Christ is willing to deny himself. A true disciple of Christ embraces his cross with love. And the only way that the true, this is the only way a true disciple of Christ follows Christ. Today we recall the transfiguration of Jesus to give us strength that we need to bear our share of hardship for his gospel of love. If we truly live the gospel message of love, if we deny ourselves, if we pick up our cross and follow Jesus, then the world may hate us just like it hated him. We may be persecuted just like he was persecuted. And it may even cost our very lives. But the transfiguration of Jesus should give us the strength and the courage that we need to bear our share of hardship for the gospel, and shows us what awaits each of us who do that. There too, we will be transfigured. We will be with God in our glorified bodies. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.